would like to read from Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. Listen carefully to the reading of God's Word in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 13. The Word of God says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman," that is, the serpent said unto the woman, "Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die." I want to remind you that Jesus says, the serpent is a liar and a murderer. Peter says that Satan is as a roaring lion going to and fro in the earth, seeking whom he may devour. And if you and I, as the people of God, if we don't look to Jesus every day, the devil will destroy our lives. Doesn't matter how wonderful things are in our lives right now, they can all come crashing down. Doesn't matter how many blessings we have, just because we live in America, all the freedoms and all the food and the clothing and the shelter and all that we have. Did you know that all that we have is nothing compared to what Adam and Eve had on this day that I'm reading to you about? They were in the Garden of Eden. They had it better than any two people have ever had on the face of the earth. And in one day, they lost everything they had because they got too close to the devil. And they listened to the devil. The devil said, "Ye shall not surely die," verse 5, "for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil." And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, let me tell you something, brethren, there are a lot of things you don't need to look at. A lot of things you don't need to look at. If Eve had not looked at that tree, she would have never partaken of the tree. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. You notice the leaves weren't enough to hide them. So then they decided to just take the whole trees and just hide among all the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called, let me say, you can't hide from God. You cannot hide from God. Whatever I do in secret, whatever I do that you don't know about, God knows about. Whatever thoughts go on in my head, God knows all about those thoughts. God knows everything that I do. God knows everything I think. God knows everything I say. He knows how I say it. God is watching me everywhere I go, every day of my life. And he's doing the same with you. Verse 9 says, "And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou?" Did God know where Adam was? You think God was wondering, was this a hide and seek game with God and Adam? No, God knew exactly where he was. Sometimes God will say to you, "Where are you?" That is, he's reminding us, you better think about where you are. You better think about the condition that you're in right now. You need to think about where you are and why you got to where you are. If you're hiding from God and running from God, you need to know what you did that caused you to get to that point that you're hiding from God and running from God. And you need to fall on your knees and say, God, have mercy on me. I have sinned. So the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? Now, was there a simple answer to that question? Hast thou eaten of the tree that I told you not to eat of? Have you eaten of that tree? Was there a simple answer to that question? Those of you who have children, have you ever asked your children, did you, and you just fill in the blank, did you do something? What do children typically begin with? When you begin to say, did you do something like this? Did you eat that cookie? Did you get out of your desk? Did you change your clothes? Did you look at something that you weren't supposed to look at? You know that children typically are not going to give you a yes or a no. In fact, if you find out that your children have gotten in trouble at school, I know the few times that I got in trouble at school, when I would get home, my daddy always knew about it. And he would say, what went on at school today? And I would always start talking about what I learned at school that day. And I would go and he'd say, well, what else happened at school? And I would talk about something else. I would try to evade the thing I was afraid he might know about. He knew. And so God said, have you eaten of that tree? And here was Adam's response. Listen, what should his response have been? Yes. Yes. That's all. That's the answer. That's the only answer. Yes. And the man said, verse 12, and the man said, the woman, God didn't ask Adam anything about Eve. God asked Adam, have you eaten of that tree? And his first response was somebody else. Used to, when Marty would get in trouble, his first response was, Melissa. Did you know husbands typically blame their wives? Doesn't matter what goes on, many, many husbands blame their wives for whatever goes on. If we go on a trip and we get there, and I've forgotten a shirt, or I've forgotten a tie, or I've forgotten a belt, or I've forgotten the wrong shoes, do you know whose fault it always is, or always used to be? Now, she's trained me over the years that when we're going anywhere, I'm responsible for getting everything that's mine. So when we get there and something is missing, I can't blame her. I still blame her for a lot of other things, but don't blame her for that because we've got that settled. It's my responsibility to take care of those things. And when God came to Adam and said, the scripture says that God said, hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? The man said, the woman. Now watch what he's going to do. Of course, he's going to blame the woman. Then he's going to blame God. The woman whom thou gavest me. You see what he's doing? He is avoiding the question. He is not accepting responsibility. He is blaming others. And that's typical for us today. And we need to learn that blaming other people for things that we're doing wrong, that's not acceptable to God. You cannot blame anyone but yourself for what you're doing wrong. And let me hasten to say that you parents that are so quick to blame the teachers when your children are not doing well in school, you are wrong to blame those teachers. I get very upset when I hear children that are not doing good in school and I hear the parents, who do they blame? They blame somebody else. And when children get in trouble, I hear parents blame somebody else. It's the friends that my son was with. It's the friends that my daughter was with. Well, I'll tell you, brethren, it's your responsibility as the parent to be sure that the friends of your children are the right kind of friends. Don't blame your children's friends for what your children do wrong. When I used to work with the State Department of Education and Adult Education, and parents that their children got kicked out of school, and they would come to me, invariably the parents would say, my child just got in with the wrong crowd. Let's say there's four boys get expelled from school, and the next morning the parents of those boys have to come see me. And the parents of the first boy say, those parents say, my boy just got in with the wrong crowd. And the second parents come in. Do you know what they say? My boy got in with the wrong crowd. And all the parents have the same excuse. It's their friends that got them into that trouble. Listen, brethren, you and I better begin to understand God does not accept all these excuses that we're having for everything that's going wrong. God will not allow you to blame others any more than he allowed Adam to blame his wife or blame God himself. The woman whom thou gavest me, she gave me of the tree. And he finally says, last three words, he said 15 words before he finally answered the question. He finally said, I did eat. I did eat. And that's what he should have said way back there in the beginning. And that's the main thing that's on my heart this morning, is that we need to stop blaming other people for whatever's going on in our lives that's not right. When God then began to speak to Eve, verse 13, and the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? Now, do you think the blame was off of Adam right here? Adam might have thought the blame was off. See, Adam said, the woman whom thou gavest me, she gave me to eat. And so did God immediately respond to Adam's statement? He didn't immediately. He immediately went right to the woman and said to the woman, he said, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, did the woman say, I did eat? Well, eventually she did, but what did she say to begin with? The serpent beguiled me. You see, the blame, always blames somebody else. Always blames somebody else. Every time there are marital problems, you know what I hear? It's his fault, says the wife. It's her fault, says the wife, the husband. Blaming others, always blaming others. You and I, as the people of God, we need to accept the fact that when things are wrong in our lives, most of the time, the things that are wrong are, to a great degree, at least partially, they're our fault when things are wrong in our lives. And we need to pray, God, help me to stop blaming others. Help me to stop saying it's somebody else's fault. It's extremely rare to find somebody that will just say, I'm just as much fault as the other person. Did you know that most lawyers would be out of a job today if people would just stop blaming other people? Did you know most lawyers would be out of a job today? Do you know why the number of lawyers per people is increasing so rampantly today? Because nobody wants to accept responsibility for what they did. If I have a wreck, I need to just get out if it's my fault and say, it's my fault. And the lawyer says, don't go see the people that are in the hospital. I'll tell you, I ought to just go to them and say, it's my fault. Accept responsibility for what you did wrong. People slip down in a store. There's a sign up that says wet floor, and a person falls down and they sue the store for having a wet floor. The sign said wet floor. If you fall down in a store and there was a sign that says wet floor, acknowledge it was your fault, not the store's fault, that you fell down. Most lawsuits today are a result of God's people not willing to accept their responsibility and say, I did something wrong. We need more honesty today. We need more people that would just stand up and say, I did it. I'm sorry. I was wrong. It was my mistake. But we don't want to accept responsibility. And this is a problem that's just becoming rampant today, that no matter what anybody does, it's always somebody else's fault. We want to blame someone else for sin. We want to blame the tobacco industry for cancer. We want to blame the alcohol industry for wrecks. I'm telling you, brethren, it's your fault if you have a wreck and drunk. It's your fault if you get cancer from smoking cigarettes. It's my fault if I have a heart attack from eating too many fats. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's not somebody else's fault. It's my fault. Let's just be honest, brethren. If you would be honest just a moment, you'll find out. If you'll, just during this coming week, you begin to listen to yourself. And I believe that everybody here will find at some point you're going to blame somebody else for something during this coming week, just like Adam did right here, and just like Eve did. You're going to blame somebody else. Sister Cheryl, Brother John ever blame you for anything? Not often. I got the wrong couple. Brother Chris, does Christy ever blame you for anything? Tonight I will speak on liars. Did everybody hear that? He said, I'm scared of her and she ain't even here. All of us, brethren, everybody here, we do things wrong. We just need to be honest and say, I did it. I made a mistake. I did it wrong. I sinned. I did it wrong. When Moses, you remember when Moses went up on Mount Sinai and Moses came down from the mountain, you remember what the children of Israel had done? What had they done? They had built a what? Built a golden calf. I want you to watch this. This is one of the most amazing things in all the Bible, how Aaron did something and lied. That was one of the biggest lies I've ever heard in my life. How God would let him be a mouthpiece is beyond me. Do you understand? That's amazing grace. Turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 32. I want you to listen to what happens right here in Exodus chapter 32. Moses goes up on the mountain to get the Ten Commandments. And in Exodus chapter 32, starting with verse 1, Exodus 32 beginning in verse 1. Exodus chapter 32 beginning in verse 1, the Word of God says, and when the people saw that Moses delayed to come down out of the mount, the people gathered themselves together unto Aaron and said unto him, up, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we know not what is become of him. And Aaron said unto them, break off the golden earrings which are in the ears of your wives and of your sons and of your daughters and bring them unto me. Bring those golden earrings. All the people break off the golden earrings which were in their ears and brought them unto Aaron. Now listen carefully to verse 4. And he, that is Aaron, received them, that's who received those earrings, at their hand and fashioned, now your subject here is Aaron, he. He received them, and Aaron fashioned them. Do you see who's making this golden calf? He received them and fashioned it with a graving tool after he had made it a molten calf. And they said, These be thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Now, are they worshiping this golden calf? They're worshiping the golden calf. You go home and read all of this. I want you to come down to verse 19. As Moses is coming down off the mountain now, what's he going to see? What's one of the first things he's going to see? The golden calf. Verse 19 says, Exodus 32, verse 19, it came to pass, as soon as he came nigh unto the camp, that he saw the calf and the dancing, and Moses' anger waxed hot, and he cast the tables out of his hands and brake them beneath the mount. And he took the calf which they had made and burned it in the fire and ground it to powder and strode it upon the water and made the children of Israel drink of it. And Moses said unto Aaron, what did this people unto thee that thou hast brought so great a sin upon them? Listen to Aaron. What a lie he told. He told as big a lie as I've ever heard. And Aaron said, let not the anger of my Lord wax hot. Thou knowest the people. Who's he going to blame? The people. Thou knowest the people that they are set on mischief. For they said unto me, make us gods which shall go before us. For as for this Moses, the man that brought us up out of the land of Egypt, we wot not what has become of him. And I said unto them,
Whosoever hath any gold, let them break it off. So they gave it me. Then I cast it into the fire, and there came out this calf. A miracle. What about that? He took all that gold, he threw it in the fire, and a calf came out of the fire.
How many of you parents have ever recognized a kid was lying to you when they told you something? I've heard children tell stuff just as wild as this is. It doesn't take much wisdom sometimes to tell when somebody is lying. Brethren, God's going to hold us accountable for what we do, and God's going to hold us accountable for the way we respond when we're being judged for what we're doing. All through the scriptures, you remember how God told the children of Israel they were to completely destroy the Amalekites and King Saul. You remember what they did? King Saul, when Samuel, God told Samuel to tell King Saul to completely destroy the Amalekites and their sheep and their oxen and their asses and all that they had. Totally destroy everything. Kill the people, kill the king, kill all their possessions. And when the children of Israel went in to take the land of Amalek, they spared the king, which was against the commandment of God, and they kept all the good sheep and all the good asses. Now, I can understand why they would do that. Can you, Brother Andy, could you do that? Can you understand? Just think now. Be a human just a minute. God told you to destroy them all. What are you going to try to do? Save what? Save a few. I got to save some for seed. Man, there's no reason to kill this bull. This is the biggest, finest bull I've ever seen. This is the best cow I've ever seen. I'm going to keep these, and I'll kill all the rest of them. Maybe God will be satisfied with that. And they kept the best of everything, and they killed the refuse. They destroyed everything that wasn't any good, but they kept everything that was good. And then God came to Saul, King Saul, and said, "What have you done?" And he said, "Well, we saved." No, he first said, "We destroyed everything." You remember? "Oh, we destroyed everything just like you told us to do." And then Samuel said, "Well, then what meaneth the bleating of the sheep? I hear a bunch of sheep. Where did they come from?" And he said, "Oh, well, we did save the best sheep to make offerings to you, God." Oh, what a lie. Oh, how we blame others. And by the way, who do you think King Saul blamed for what he did there? Who do you think he blamed? The people. He said, the people made me do it. Brethren, we need to pray that God will help us to stop blaming others for the things that are wrong in our lives. Accept responsibility for what you do. Accept the fact you are responsible for your life and how you live it. The things that you do that are right and the things that you do that are wrong, you need to pray, "God, help me to do the things that are right. And when I do something wrong, help me to be honest. Help me to be straightforward. Help me to not blame others. Help me to accept the fact I messed up." I want you to think about how I really believe it's a part of human nature to want to blame other people. That whatever's wrong, we ought to be able to blame somebody for whatever's wrong. I thought about this last night, about the man that was born blind. You remember him? Now, the apostles wanted to blame somebody for that man being blind. It has to be somebody's fault. You remember? Who did sin? This man? Or his parents, that he was born blind? What were they trying to do? Find out who was to blame, whose fault it was that he was born blind. And were they wrong? Completely wrong. Brethren, you and I as the people of God, we need to be like the prodigal son. When the prodigal son came to himself, he said, "I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I'm no more worthy to be called thy son." Can you tell me some blaming that the prodigal son could have done? If I was the prodigal son, I probably would have said, "Daddy, if you hadn't given me my inheritance, I wouldn't have wasted it out there. How could you let me go? Why didn't you keep me home?" And I tell you something, brethren, when a child gets ready to go, you can try all you want to. You're just going to have trouble. Let them go. You understand what I'm saying? When they get old enough, you just let them go. And God will deal with them out there. He could have blamed his daddy. Couldn't he have blamed his daddy? Could he have tried to blame his daddy? He could have blamed the other brother. He could have said, because the other brother definitely had some problems. He could have said, you know, I just couldn't live with my brother anymore. A lot of times people can't get along with their family. And so that's who he could have blamed, was his brother. In fact, he could have blamed the famine. The Bible says there was a famine in the land, and that's what caused a part of his problem. There was a famine in the land. He didn't blame his daddy. He didn't blame his brother. He didn't blame the famine. What did he do? Father, I have sinned. I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Do you see the difference in the response of the father of that person who accepted his responsibility, who confessed his sin, who said, I did wrong? And that father ran and greeted him and wrapped his arms around him and gave him a ring and put shoes on his feet and a robe on him and killed the fatted calf. Do you see the difference in the way the father responded there and the way God talked to Adam and Eve back there in the Garden of Eden? You know what the main difference was? The main difference was the way that they accepted responsibility for their sin. May God help us, brethren, to understand that we do sin. And when we sin and when we do things wrong, we need to acknowledge what we've done. In fact, I would say one of the most wonderful things in the world is when somebody is so honest that they come down the aisle. You and I have seen, there are many in this congregation that have come down the aisle and have confessed their sins and have repented and have stayed away from that ungodly living. Do you hear what I'm telling you? There are people here who have walked down this aisle and confessed their sins. They didn't blame anybody else. They just acknowledged, I did wrong. And they asked God to forgive them and asked the church to forgive them. And they started over and they've lived right. What a blessing it is to see somebody like the prodigal son. May God help us all to live right every day and don't blame others, is my prayer for Christ's sake.